Good afternoon. Welcome to Senate State Affairs. Today is Tuesday, February 8th. Let the record reflect it is exactly 3:30 p.m. Today we have present Senator Kawasaki and Senator Holland. Senator Schauer, I was just on the phone with him, is away for business. And then Senator Costello is in the building and she may be joining us. I'm not certain at this time. I'm the vice chair of this committee, as you all know, so I will be conducting business today at hand. I would like to remind committee members and those in the audience to silence or turn off your cell phones, please. The staff that will be assisting today is Naresh, the committee aide, and just a second. These are blank, sorry. Kelsey and Carrie will be assisting us today with the Senate records and with the LIO. And it's been a little bit since I've had the gavel, so guys, just bear with me a little bit. So there are three bills today on the agenda. We plan on having public testimony, it looks like, on all three bills. We're starting out with Senate Bill 156, and then we will move to Senate Bill 145 if there is time, and also Senate Bill 148. The first bill is SB 156, an act relating to COVID-19 immunization rights and relating to objection by the administration of the vaccine. I intend to take public testimony, and I was hoping to move the bill out of committee today, but there may be, we may pause on that. I guess there was amendments due, and I believe someone might have missed the deadline. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but there may be some amendments that are on this, so I'm going to make a decision later in regards to that. But right now, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to give just a really brief overview of what the bill does in case people did not hear what the Senate Bill 156 does. But basically, it allows people to exercise their rights and access benefits without any state agency or political subdivision adopting an ordinance or similar policy that requires someone to be vaccinated against COVID-19. It also, in the next section, a state agency or an employee of the state or agents of the state, I'm going to take this thing off, I can hardly talk, a state agency or employee of the state or agent of the state may not require to produce documentation like a passport. And then the next section goes over discrimination based on vaccine status. It's unlawful to discriminate a person or government entity to refuse or withhold or deny an individual or any local or state services, good facilities, etc., and or employment opportunities based on the individual's COVID vaccine status. The next section, they also cannot deny compensation or limit or exclude, segregate, refuse service, or otherwise discriminate based on a COVID-19 vaccine status or immunity passport. However, they can recommend to a person to get the vaccine, but it's okay to recommend, but they can't discriminate based on the status of the vaccine. The last section basically it allows everybody to object to the administration of the COVID-19 vaccine for individual basis, for religion, for medical, or for other grounds. And a parent or guardian of a child may object to the administration of a COVID-19 vaccine to the minor child based on religious, medical, or other grounds. And a person may not require the individual to provide any justification or documentation to support the individual's decision to decline the vaccine or for a minor child. And then it goes into COVID-19 means a novel coronavirus. So it just defines what that is. So that's at a very high level. We went over this bill last week, and so we have had so many phone calls in our office. This is probably the most public testimony I've ever seen on a bill. All three of us have been answering phone calls in our office and dealing with emails. So I had no idea that this was, I haven't even done a flyer on it. This was just grassroots effort. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and first of all, we're going to see if there's any testimony. I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony on SB 156. Let's see if there's anybody in the room. Fisher, would you like to come up and put your name on the record? I would like your first name, your last name, and if you have an affiliation, that would be great. If not, if you're testifying on behalf of yourself, But welcome to the Senate State Affairs today.
Thank you. Do I go there and write it on?
Oh, right there. Yeah. Just first name, last name. And when you're talking, you don't have to have the...
Okay. My name is Anthony Rago. I live in Juneau, Alaska, and I'm representing myself today. About a year ago, March of 2020, I was diagnosed with COVID-19, and I recovered fully and naturally. About a year ago, my employers mandated that their employees be vaccinated against COVID-19. On February 11th, I got my first dose of the vaccine. I'm going to pull up my notes here. They have my lot numbers. My first dose lot number is EN9581. The day that I got my vaccine, I started having diarrhea. By the end of the week, I was bleeding, and I had called my primary care doctor and scheduled an appointment. At the appointment, she told me I was having a reaction to the vaccine and recommended that I not proceed with the series. She even wrote me a note. My symptoms persisted, and I went to see a general surgeon and had a colonoscopy performed. The colonoscopy showed that I had lymphocytic colitis, and my doctor said I would be treated with a course of steroids. Three courses of steroids later, not better at all. I had gotten my second dose. I had begged and pleaded not to have it be administered to me, and I was actually asked to leave during a procedure to go and get my second injection. I had even told them that I had a note from my physician, and it didn't seem to matter. And so I'm testifying today and in support of this bill for anyone that's been in my situation to stand up and say no. And I hope that this bill does pass so they can have that right without serious repercussion of losing their job or getting something they don't want to get and progressing their illness. I had my second colonoscopy performed at Virginia Mason, and I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. That was after my second vaccine had been administered. My first colonoscopy was before my second vaccine had been administered, and I was diagnosed with a treatable condition. It wasn't treated, my symptoms persisted, and were inflamed by my second dose, I believe. And here we are today, a year later. I weigh 35 pounds less than I did. I can't work. I'm not enrolled in school anymore. My family is in financial despair. Like, I don't know, it's not a sustainable lifestyle for me. And no one's being held accountable or responsible. And I don't think that it's fair that I am and my family is. So thank you for listening and being here today.
I have a question, if you don't mind. So you're not employed there any longer. Have they helped in any way your former employer with any of the impacts after mandating this?
No. While I was still employed there, they did provide an Alaska Airlines trip from Juneau to Seattle. When I put in my notice, I had requested that they help financially, and they said that there was no proof, so they wouldn't help.
Wow, but you had no GI problems before.
Yeah, I have no family history of any GI-related condition, especially not Crohn's disease. Personally, I've never had any symptom GI-related that's gone longer than a day or a night, or like maybe the stomach flu is a couple days, but nothing like this. And I've been through a lot of stress in my life for being as old as I am, and I feel like it was something that I had and was just waiting to flare up. It would have at a much earlier point in my life.
Senator Holland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So without necessarily stating who it was, public or private sector employment? Is it government or private
sector?
And follow up, second
yes,
question.
Yes.
Crohn's, is that a lifetime diagnosis?
Yes, Crohn's is a chronic condition. The treatment that my medical providers recommend is two injections a month. They go about $5,000 an injection, and I'm supposed to be on those medications for the rest of my life.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is that does that happen to be a monoclonal antibody? Do you know the injections?
It's Humira. I'm not positive if it's. I can't afford it, so I honestly didn't look that much into it.
sorry, the reason I'm asking is I used to work for Johnson & Johnson and sold Remicade. And so the reason I was doing that is because, you know, the Crohn's disease diagnosis, it was something that people needed more medication for. And it's, I know Remicade is incredibly expensive, so I actually think that one's quite a bit cheaper. So it that's on the lower scale of, I think it's the second layer treatment. But excuse me, Senator Holland.
And what little I know about Crohn's disease is I think it's an autoimmune disease. I think where your body turns on itself, and it might be something about it's some kind of self-allergy shots, trying to keep your body from attacking itself.
So. Yeah, that's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you for being brave and sharing. I actually got to meet you at the listening session in Juneau, and your testimony touched my heart along with many, many others. So thank you for being here, and I really, really hope for a good outcome for you in the future, and appreciate your testimony so much.
Yeah, thank you all for being here again. Have a great day.
Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify? Kelly, come on up.
Good afternoon. My name is Kelly Fischler. I am a Juneau resident, and I am a longtime Alaskan. I would like to testify in support of this bill because of two reasons. The first reason is that in March of 2020, I was actually intending to open a business geared towards servicing the cruise ship passenger industry, and that was something that, of course, never manifested and never came to be. And when I consider the decision of having to discriminate against customers based on an immunization status, it's something that as a hopefully a future business owner, I would not want to have to do. And the other reason that I'm testifying today is because I am a Navy and Air National Guard veteran. As most of you guys know, the military has to have certain vaccines and immunizations to continue military service. I've had the smallpox vaccine, I've had the anthrax vaccine, and I had adverse reactions to both of those. The worst vaccine that I've had a reaction to is actually the flu shot in 2017. I was on a TDY, I was on temporary assignment at Elmendorf Richardson up in Anchorage, and the rest of my unit and I, we all got the flu shot the same day, and this was the intramuscular shot, not the flu mist. And that night, around 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 a.m., my heart started beating so fast it woke me up. My Fitbit registered it at around 200 beats a minute, and it was for 20, 25 minutes. I've been combing through the data trying to find the actual data for this. And I remember looking at my daughter, who was about 9 months old at the time, and I thought, oh, my God, am I going to die? Am I never going to see her wake up? So I will not be getting the COVID vaccine. And it would be such a shame to not be able to utilize benefits, services, thank you, or patronize businesses because I'm not willing to risk my health. There's an athletic or a fitness business here who will not allow you to attend fitness classes if you're not immunized against COVID-19. And as important as fitness is, I will go somewhere else because I cannot afford to sacrifice my health for something like that. It's simply not worth the risk. And it seems unethical to ask me to undertake a risk that no one else is going to have to shoulder. Because all the adverse reactions to these vaccines, even if people are compensated, it's not the doctors who go home and they can't breathe. It's not the Veterans Administration. It's the people and the families that are shouldering this burden. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing your testimony, Kelly. Really appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
We're sorry. you know, of the adverse reactions that you've had. Did you have a question? Anyway, COVID is a little bit different, as we all know. It was developed at a very short, I call it warp speed, and it was got out there, so there was no long-term safety and data. Now I think there's 22,000 almost deaths and over 1 million adverse reactions. So it is risky, and that they estimate to be between 1 and 10% of actual, because so many people don't put information on the VAERS. But anyway, we've got tons of people online, so I'm gonna move on as quickly as we can to those people online. So thank you for being with us today. Either one of you guys have a question, correct? Okay, so what I'm going to do at this point in time, unless you gave us a time restraint, I'm going to just go in order of who is online. We have a massive number of emails, and this is just a fraction, and they're all positive. All of them are for SB 156, and this is only a fraction of what we've been getting. I am amazed at the overwhelmingly positive support. We've really hit a nerve here. And I'm super thankful for all of the testimony. So I'm going to go ahead and start. And if you guys can do it in 2 minutes, I would really appreciate it, just so we can get to the many people online. But I will allow a total of 3 minutes, but we'll definitely have to ask you to wrap up at 3 minutes. But if you can do it in two, we would really appreciate it. So with that, Kelly Nash of Fairbanks, state your name, affiliation, and your testimony, whether if you do support or do not support SB 156. Vaccine Bill of Rights.
My name is Kelly Nash. I'm calling from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I support SB 156, and I want to thank you for putting this forward. I do want to let you know, though, that while I was in hold and while you were speaking, there's some other person that keeps coming on the line and talking over you, so there probably may be a bunch of people that have missed what people are saying, so I don't know where it's coming from. We're talking about Department of Corrections and a slideshow, so it's kind of irritating. But anyways, so I am a sole proprietor, so my job, I have to worry about getting the jab. But I have a lot of people in my life that have had to do it, and they've had reactions. There are people that have stepped down from jobs that they've had, 25, 30 years, and they're now trying to figure out how they're going to take care of their family. The public health emergency that has been enacted since April 30th of last year, the same day that the governor stopped the emergency declaration, is it's really wearing thin on people. And this is right out of the Hitler's playbook. And you have people handing out pins. We have businesses here in Fairbanks that won't let you go there if you don't have your vaccine card. The hospital, they have people working there. The nurses, they're short staffed, so they're calling in nurses that are sick, that are positive with COVID, to work on patients because they don't have anybody, and even working with brand new babies. And I didn't even know, the shedding that comes off of people. My best friend, her husband went and got it, and she ended up getting super sick. It's so hard for me to even imagine that we're even going through this. The fact that we even have to have a bill come forward like this for us to protect, our rights, to protect our, bodily autonomy, to say, no, I don't want that in my body. It's no different than rape. And the governor promised when all this came out that there would not be any vaccine passport. And I hope that he stands true to that. The people are sick and tired of it. We're done. And, we're not going to get shot. We're not going to do it. It's not going to happen.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony, Kelly. And yeah, I do believe there's an executive order, but I think it's super important to put it into state statute. And thank you for your testimony. We're going to move on now to Kendall Cruz of Palmer.
Hi, my name is Kendall Cruz. Thank you for letting me speak today. I am a mother, a healthcare provider, a Christian, and I live in Palmer, Alaska. I've worked in rural Alaska for 8 years. I support SB 156. First is the consensus of the medical industry that the COVID-19 vaccines do not stop transmission. Vaccinated individuals transmit equal amounts of virus to the community as anyone who is unvaccinated, and I have submitted studies through email to the record to demonstrate that. Secondly, I worked through the pandemic, and I transitioned to a 100% remote position in 2021, but I was fired in August for not receiving the vaccine. I have well-known religious views and medical exemptions that included conditions that were contraindicated to COVID vaccination for the CDC and the pharmaceutical company. But I was denied all my exemptions. My employer stated specifically they would not allow any religious exemptions, and they didn't. My medical exemptions, quote, weren't adequate, and my remote status was not an acceptable accommodation. I've since been employed elsewhere as a 100% remote worker. Following CMS mandates, I was initially denied my religious exemption and questioned for further documentation. And I was told I had to sign a document stating, quote, I acknowledge that by not getting vaccinated, I am a potential life-threatening risk to my family, my community, patients, and coworkers. Since we've already established that vaccinated healthcare workers transmit equal amounts of virus to the community and their patients, why is it unvaccinated people are being forced to sign these documents to stay employed? We are no more of a threat to the health of patients or our community than anyone else is. The transmission is equal. Lastly, my daughter has had extreme and rare reactions to vaccination since her birth. Seizures, difficulty breathing, projectile vomiting, fevers of 105. This culminated in a life-threatening event 20 minutes after her well child visit at 4 years old in 2019. After months of doctor's visits, unnecessary and painful treatments, medications, our pediatrician felt empathy for us. She admitted to us in person that it was likely reactions to the vaccines that she received. And it would have to resolve on its own after we had tried all these things she knew were not appropriate. Per the vaccine inserts, her rare reactions meant she has a complete and total intolerance to vaccination. She was born this way. We tried to pursue a medical exemption from our pediatrician. She became hostile towards us. She refused and kicked us out of her practice for refusing further vaccines, despite the manufacturer insert stating she shouldn't. Come to now, the COVID-19 vaccine medical exemption, the only one that is allowed across the board from employers, hospitals, state agencies, is an anaphylactic reaction to a COVID-19 vaccine itself. So while my daughter can get a medical exemption from a different provider to not have the other vaccines that will kill her, she cannot get a medical exemption for the COVID-19 vaccine unless she has already had it. Exemptions were written into law to be utilized, but they are nothing but arbitrary. My daughter's life is literally at stake over the movement towards forced vaccination. She survived COVID just fine with sniffles. She will not survive a vaccine. We need to stop this unscientific and very political acceptance of discrimination and segregation. My daughter is going to be unemployable and unable to participate in society or lose her life from a mandatory three-series vaccine. They are not accepting exemptions. This needs to stop, and we have to move forward respecting the civil rights that we already have and punishing people who refuse to follow those laws. Thank you for your time.
Wow. That was a very intense testimony and thank you for sharing it. I'm sorry about the situation with your daughter, and I'm just amazed that the pediatrician got hostile. I mean, I would just love to get that pediatrician's name. I know you might not want to put that on the record, but feel free to email. Anybody can email to my office, sen.lora.reinbold@akledge.gov, or the State Affairs Committee, which is senatestateaffairs@akledge.gov, if you want to follow up with any testimony, because we are trying to hold it to 2 to 3 minutes. So thank you for your testimony. Next, we will move on to Sarah. Davoll, I believe, from Kodiak.
Yes, hi, this is Sarah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, hi. My name is Sarah Duvall, and I'm actually reading a testimony for a friend, if that's okay.
Yes, please proceed.
And then if I may, take maybe a 30 seconds after I read his testimony just to say one thing?
Yes.
For myself?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes, it's okay.
Okay. This testimony is from Roland Russo, and he is also a Kodiak resident. Last year, our local Kodiak newspaper printed an editorial from the LA Times titled Bring on the COVID Vaccination Mandate. The point of the piece was that people who decline the COVID vaccine should lose the right to work, travel, attend school, or participate in public activities. Basically, vaccine or party. I was shocked to read it in an Alaskan newspaper. Last week, the FDA approved a version of Moderna's COVID vaccine called Spikevax. Despite the fact that it hasn't been tested for its ability to protect against Omicron, recent data shows that a person vaccinated for COVID is just as likely to catch and spread the disease as an unvaccinated person. So a vaccine mandate at this point will discriminate against people who choose to not be injected with a product that will not stop the spread and will allow vaccinated people to enjoy all their freedoms as they continue to spread. This is insane. Cities and states across the U.S. have implemented vaccine passports. Last year, my legislator told me it would never happen in Alaska. But until there is a law to prevent it, there's no guarantee. Alaskans deserve solid legal protection from this reckless idea. The bill before you will do this. Thank you for considering my comment, Roland Russo from Kodiak, Alaska. And if I may just share quickly for myself that I empathize with the previous speakers in regards to their vaccine injuries. My aunt, a school teacher in New England, also was diagnosed with lymphocytic colitis. And it actually went a step further, and she had to have a colostomy bag, and she will have that the rest of her life. And her doctor refused to submit her vaccine reaction to theirs. Thank you for hearing Roland and my testimony.
Thank you very much for your testimony. And I don't mean to bring this up too much, but I did used to work in this industry, the big pharma industry, and people did not put in VAERS all the time. I mean, it was incredible. It takes about 30 minutes. A lot of them are being rejected. I've even heard of a hospital warning people not to put it in. And so a lot needs to be investigated. But these reactions are very, very real, and you all deserve to be heard. And I just thank you for telling me your testimony very, very much. So, and I'm sorry this is happening to so many people. It's impacting so many Alaskans, so many people around the world. So appreciate you guys taking time to pour out your hearts to us. And we are listening. Next, we will talk, or we will hear from Pamela Samash from Minneana.
Hi, thank you. My name is Pamela Samash, and as you said, I live in Minneana. And I would like to please support this bill. First of all, when people are damaged by these shots, the pharmaceuticals do not help them financially, and the side effects can last a lifetime. Pfizer admitted to AmZinc, and I watched it personally, that they plan to influence the free speech in social media and will pursue pulling doctors' licenses who don't push all their shots, including COVID shots. So I guess that's our new president, our new king is Pfizer. Okay. Second, it's too bad we need a bill to allow us the freedom that God has already gave us in natural law. Furthermore, Alaska doesn't require any other shot and has always supported our medical freedoms before and should continue to do so. Clinics in the villages are now refusing currently medical intervention to those who haven't had at least three shots. And I know of a situation where that's currently right now happening to an elderly man that's dizzy, and they don't know why, and they are refusing him medical intervention because he hasn't had the third shot in one of the villages. Okay, third, Senator Ron's five-hour panel has revealed the side effects and deaths at over a million, and no other vaccine with that many side effects would have been allowed to continue. People have literally dropped dead right on TV after taking the shot, and yet they still distribute them. And breastfeeding babies that nursed off mothers that have the shot have come down with autoimmune reactions and bleeding disorders. And I've heard that from personal testimony. There is data that's proven the shots are causing a large spike in miscarriages. We have lost an entire generation of people because of these shots. Miscarriages. This is a violation of the Nuremberg Code and crimes against humanity. Please support this bill, and I really appreciate you and thank you.
Pamela, thank you for your testimony. And if you wouldn't mind, you said that you heard something about Pfizer, and they said they were going to target people for free speech and pursue medical license of those who are not pushing it. I need that data. I have not seen that before. I can tell you I'm experiencing it because I got an ethics complaint because of this or misinformation, and I also got a lawsuit for this or misinformation based on their claiming First Amendment rights, which is unbelievable. I know there was a group at University of Alaska that said they were targeting people, and I even got someone bragging that they were targeting me. So anyway, this is really, really important information because all, as I said, is people need to have the freedom to take it with informed consent and also 100% have the freedom to deny it. And so I'm just passionately trying to defend individual liberties now. But if you have that information, it would actually be quite helpful. Please send it to my senator page. I would really appreciate it. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we are moving on to Michael Ryan from the North Pole.
Hi, this is Michael Ryan. I'm from North Pole. Just wanted to say I support SB 156, and I appreciate everybody's time on this. 100% support everything that's been said so far. And it's time to end the charade and get moving on with our life. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Michael. Next, we will speak we will hear from Jamie Fagan.
Hello?
Yes, and can you also tell us, is there still interference on the line, or is the interference gone, the DOC presentation and slides, or can you hear us clearly what's going on in this meeting? And please state, you hear us state, okay, great. It sounds like they fixed whatever problem is. Please state your name, and if you have an affiliation, and then please proceed.
Okay, my name is Jake Fagan. I'm a commercial fisherman in Kodiak. I'm doing this for myself. I support SB 156. Thanks for the opportunity to speak here today. I just wanted just to say that mandates are antithetical to the very principles that this country was founded on and the idea of freedom itself. If we lose medical freedom, if we allow unelected health bureaucrats to dictate what must be injected into our bodies, we lose all freedom. As of today, the following countries have ended or are planning on ending all COVID-related mandates: England, Spain, France, Switzerland, Ireland, Scotland, Norway, Denmark, Netherlands, Finland, Lithuania, Italy, and probably more to follow. This is not a left-right issue. This is a freedom versus authoritarian issue. One of the other speakers said it real well. This would make Hitler happy. What's been going on for the last 2 years? I mean, Hitler couldn't even have realized this. John Hopkins University just released a study on the effect of lockdowns. Here's the quote they released. "We find no evidence that lockdowns, school closures, border closures, and limited gatherings have a noticeable effect on COVID mortality. We were promised by that health expert that the vaccines were 98% effective at preventing people from catching and transmitting COVID. This has been proven false. If you're triple vaxxed, you can still spread and transmit COVID. This begs the question, how are vaccine mandates going to help stop the spread of COVID if vaccines don't stop people from catching it or transmitting it? For anyone who is not under the spell of the corporate narrative being pushed by the legacy corporate media, The answer is easy. They don't. In fact, most of what we were told by the health experts early on in this pandemic has been proven over and over again to be false. Please be on the right side of history and vote yes on SB 156. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Jamie, we appreciate it. And yes, we are still in a health emergency. Commissioner Crum got those powers from House Bill 76. And when I asked him, he said it was for money, for some sort of public welfare. So anyway, I still have no reason, no justification of why we're in a public health emergency. But yes, Commissioner Crum still has us there, even though all these countries don't have them anymore. So anyway, thank you. Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Thank you very much for your testimony. Karen Perry of Chugiak, please proceed.
Hello, this is Karen Perry from Chugiak.
Please proceed.
Yes, hi. I want to kindly remind you all, and I know that most people on this committee are going to be against this bill, but I want to kindly remind you that you took an oath, a sworn oath, to uphold and defend our Constitution. The Constitution of the State of Alaska expressly safeguards our privacy rights. Article 1, Section 22 states that, quote, the right of the people to privacy is recognized and shall not be infringed, unquote. We don't need, quote, unquote, exemptions. Our exemption is our Constitution. But I do appreciate this bill, and I do support it because it reiterates the importance of our right to privacy. We the people demand that you honor your sworn oath and vote yes on SB 156. As a side note, for those of you that are using the word, quote, vaccine, unquote, it's a misnomer. A vaccine is supposed to prevent you from getting the disease, such as measles, smallpox, etc., but we have seen none of that in our experience with COVID. The so-called vaccines do nothing to prevent others from people getting sick, even though they have 1, 2, 3, 4 jabs. So let's stand up for our right to medical freedom and our right to medical privacy. Also, the mandate completely disregards any natural immunity. So if a state can dictate what we put into our body, it is the equivalent to saying the state owns our bodies. This is wrong. I would like a roll call vote on this bill and put everyone on the record. And I would also like to say if this gets to the floor, we will be watching it very closely because the people of Alaska want our freedom. This is what our country and our state has been founded on. Liberty. Liberty. And your sworn oath. Thank you, Laura. And P.S., fire and zinc. And in that case, fire Crum. And in that case, fire Dunleavy. And now it's okay. My husband's turn.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that we got to be careful not to cross the line there. But I did want to say just a few points. I do believe most people on the committee support this bill. I hope so. I have not seen the amendments. I don't know what they're going to be. But I can tell you that we worked on this since last January, and it passed the Senate a couple times. There's just one new section, I believe, in this bill. So I'm just hoping that we can actually get it to the finish line. The House, I'm hoping there, especially with all the Bears testimony and all this overwhelming testimony out in the public. But I also wanted to say we are an opt-in state, not an opt-out. So we do have some statutes that do protect us into state law. The CDC sadly changed the definition of a vaccine in 2015 and 21. But in our state statute, the definition has not changed. So, yes, there is consternation around whether this is, you know, a what we consider in our state statute a vaccine. It doesn't match. So anyway, thank you for your testimony. We will move on to Rod Perry, and I'll never forget the day that I got to meet you and your amazing, amazing book. So you can anyway, about the I did a Rod, but thank you very, very much for being here today, and please proceed.
Okay, I'm passing the phone to my husband right now, and we can hear real good on the TV, but it's really hard. I've got my phone turned up all the way, and my husband is hard of hearing, so I'm going to pass the phone to him. But add an amendment to this bill where the legislature can take off those stupid face diapers. Here's Rod.
name is Rod Perry from Chugiak, and I support SB 156 and the prohibition of vaccine mandates and the requirement to share any of my private health care information. I urge you today to hold a roll call vote in favor of protecting my life, my liberty, private health care information, and vaccine status. Again, please vote yes on SB 156 today. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod. Appreciate your pointed and straight up testimony. Because this is not, I'm vice chair of this committee. I have not made the decision yet what the will of this committee. We have to do it jointly up here. So we may not have the votes to get it out of committee. I don't know. So we're going to have the discussion later in this process. So next we're going to be going to Irene Quid now from Anchorage.
Hello, my name is Irene Quidnow. I'm from Anchorage, and I'm representing myself. I'm in support of Senate Bill number 156. Never before have private people and entities been allowed to ask for medical information in order to determine if they will give you entrance in a restaurant or a store, if they will employ you or not, if they are eligible for a transplant or not, just to name a few things. Besides the fact that it is unconstitutional and against HIPAA regulations to ask these questions, how would you feel when you go to the grocery store and the person guarding the entrance asks you if you have had a colonoscopy in the last 6 months? Most people would be appalled, and rightfully so. Asking for vaccine status is no different. It is private information and should remain that way. Also, mandating, which equals prescribing something that is a medical treatment, is against the law unless you are a licensed professional. None of the employers, nor a lodge owner, nor an assembly member or a senator is a licensed medical professional. And even if they are, if the person they are requiring the information from is not their patient, they are not allowed to ask the question. Having a vaccine passport and discriminating against people and employees based on a so-called vaccine creates segregation and obviously discrimination. And like one of the other people or several of the other people said before, nobody talks about natural immunity. It's only the so-called vaccine that is allowed, so to speak. So I am in full support of the Senate bill, and I hope you all vote in favor of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Irene. We appreciate your testimony, and I fully agree. You don't want employers to get into the business of dictating healthcare without a license, especially when it's something, you know, like COVID-19. This is absolutely unbelievable. I do believe to practice medicine, you need a license, and if someone tells you, you have to get it. Where's the liability? Like with Fisher, who just testified, he was the very first testifier. Where's the liability? No, he was trying to do the right thing, and then their employer basically washed their hands. So very sad. So anyway, I just wanted to say thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Next, we will go to Candy Miller in Wasilla. Please proceed.
Senator Ryan. Thank you, Senator Reingold, for sponsoring this. I support SB 156. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please proceed.
My relative's spouse died less than 2 weeks after taking the Pfizer in Alaska. There was pressure on this family because of the fear going on regarding and the pressure regarding the vaccine. And several of our friends had severe adverse reactions to the shot. We're not sure what it was. Some were immediate, and then there was as months went by, it became this one of our friends could not even walk, couldn't drive, had to use a wheelchair. And thankfully, there was some wisdom came to this. So there's some recovery happening. Several friends and their relatives were denied their religious exemption rights, people that we know in Alaska, to refuse the shot mandates, and they lost their jobs in Alaska. Some were military, medical. These are friends that I've met in circles that we mingle, that we are connected with, prayer and people in the community, different churches. It is definitely serious. It's really a hurt. Just hearing all these things have been just, even on the today on the testimony time, it's just grievous what's been going on. And I'm thankful for what you and others have been doing to get truth out there. And the Alaska COVIDAlliance.com and the COVID listening sessions where people have been sharing their experiences, but also getting truth out there. I also am aware that there's been great concerns and some about parental rights to decide for their children. Even some children that have been in or are in foster care, that there hasn't been a parental right to say no to get the shot. And so thank you for doing all you can do to move forward with SB 156. Thank you so much. God bless you. And we'll pray for wisdom here and for protection over everyone here in Alaska, but also the nation and the world. God bless you. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for sharing your testimony. And it's really sad that you know a spouse that died and then many friends who've had severe reactions. We've had four, I think, listening sessions now. They've been heart-wrenching, absolutely heart-wrenching.
Yes.
Let alone the treatment in the hospitals and withdrawal, you know, with withholding of early effective treatment. We could go on and on. But anyway, thank you for your testimony. Next, we will move on to James Squires from Delphana. Thank you for joining Senate State Affairs today, and please proceed.
My name is James Squires. I am from rural Delphana. I am testifying before you today in favor of SB 156. Alaska should set the example as the place where a right to life is protected and celebrated from conception to natural death. The right to life includes the freedom and liberty to live without coercion from employers, schools, the healthcare establishment, and the government. Alaskans must be free to make healthcare decisions for themselves and for children without coercion and to keep those decisions private. Article 1, Section 22 of the Alaska Constitution indicates the right to privacy is recognized and shall not be infringed. You as legislators need to protect us from privacy violations. It's your obligation to do so because of the oath of office you took under Article 12, Section 5. I'll take this moment to put out a pitch for SB 119, which supports the oath of office, and I hope it makes it to this committee soon for your consideration. Back to SB 156. Alaskans should never be coerced to reveal their health care or vaccine status. Alaskans should never fear the loss of income, employment, education, travel, or any services because they will not reveal their health care or vaccine status. Let's move this bill out of committee without delay and get it over to the next committee of referral ASAP. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you, James. I appreciate your testimony very much. Next, we will go to Daniel Harrington of Anchorage.
Who are you looking for?
Daniel Harrington of Anchorage. Please proceed. Thank you.
That's me. Now, everyone's touched on HIPAA and all that, and we are in violation of those laws by requiring the vaccination. But I just want to tell my story because your office actually, this is Ms. Reinbold, your office actually told me to call and tell this story. I'm 60 years, I'm in my early 60s, I have asthma, and I am diabetic. In mid-September, I knew I had COVID and went to the hospital, Providence here in Anchorage. Because I refused to get the jab, they refused to treat me. For 6 hours, I was denied oxygen, which is initially why I went there. I couldn't breathe, and I was even denied a drink of water or a restroom. Until I finally got lucid enough and stored enough energy to demand they let me go. I got out. Then it took me 10 days to find a doctor with the courage enough to actually give me treatment without getting a vaccination. This is insane. This is Joseph Mengele on steroids. We got to stop this type of stuff. They put me in a closet. I kid you not, it was a closet. It had a glass wall to another room on one side of it, but you couldn't even walk around the bed. It was so small. And they didn't treat me. They kept coming in and asking me if I wanted an injection of the vaccine. Well, that's just telling me if you want to live, you got to take this shot. Well, they don't have the right to do that. Nobody has that right. And that's what we're getting over here. These people at Providence, they're not being held accountable. Want to do some real good? Let's make the Hippocratic Oath real legislation with some teeth to it so that these people, you know, I thought Reagan did it back in the 80s, but apparently not. When someone comes in and they're dying, you got to help them. I nearly died. I survived a boost in the can of oxygen for 10 days, actually closer to 2 weeks, and over-the-counter medication. You know, my grandkids and my great-grandchildren were coming by to see me because everyone thought I was going to die. Well, I managed to survive without the vaccine. I probably would have died if I took it based on the information that I'm seeing in such a weakened state. But you know, who gave the government the right or an employer the right to violate all these HIPAA laws and whatnot? To demand that, hey, I've got to give you my personal information so that you can feel good about yourself, and maybe hold things away from me and leverage me to do things so that I can continue to support my family and whatnot. This is just craziness. I mean, I heard someone earlier say, you know, Mengele and Hitler and Stalin and those like-minded people, they would be very happy to see the route we're taking now. This is just craziness. I will not get the shot ever. And if I get – well, I'm retired, so no one can really hurt me financially anymore. But it just – we got to stop it. I support 156 or SB 156, and those who don't support it, I will be more than happy to debate you publicly, privately, in any forum you want about – these vaccines. One of the things people need to look up, SM-102. It's been a poison since its inception, and it's in these vaccines. So, but anyway, I just thank you for letting me speak, and let's move forward and not allow us to become a Third Reich or a Fourth Reich, I guess, a type of government or operated system where we have no more rights. You know, you might as well slap a star on us with the J on him or non-vaccinated, just like Hitler did with the Jews. But anybody does that to my family, I gotta say, there's gotta be, you're erasing any consequence that the people doing it can be subjected to by not having these type of rules. Thank you.
Daniel, thank you. Your story is actually heart-wrenching. I can't believe in Providence that they would treat people like this. And so it sounds like they're not only denying ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine from the testimony we've had in the past, but also denying treatment to those who refuse the vax. I want to know if there's a motivation for them to receive, you know, for them to push it. That's what I really want to know. And I have to get to the bottom of it. We haven't had a chance, but trust me, I'm going
to... been trying to call people and nobody wants to hear it. These people literally tried to kill me, and I think someone should be held accountable. I'm not going to go down nothing crazy. I'm not going to go down there and blow up buildings and whatnot, but dang, somebody needs to be held accountable. And I'm not saying line my pockets with money and keep me shut up. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in my family and other people's families being safe from this type of treatment. Yeah. They should have helped me.
Daniel, I'm not going to disagree that they should have helped you. There's something bizarre about what's going on. And so thank you very much
for your testimony. You have the right to be upset, and I really want to say thank you. Just please channel your energy positively, and thank you for coming and putting your testimony forth. But people who just about lost their life and being denied treatment need to be heard, and I do agree with you. People need to be held accountable. So thank you for your testimony and your support of SB 156. Next, we will go on to Louis Imbriani. Thank you so much for being online today, and you are from my district, Eagle River.
Good evening, and thank you, Senator Reinbold. Thank you for bringing this bill forward, and thank you for representing me. I want to bring your attention real quick to the COVID monthly update from December. It was released in January, but it actually shows in November and December that there was a 35.7% breakthrough rate of vaccinated individuals. And then in December, that was a 47% vaccination breakthrough rate. And this was with Omicron just starting to show its head. The first Omicron case was verified in December 13th of 2021. So we were having vaccine breakthroughs well before Omicron even got here. As I've said to you before, that the vaccine, for somebody who chooses to take it, has a great individual impact, but the community and social impact that it has is not what we would have hoped for. Like polio and smallpox, it doesn't halt the virus, but people are still able to transmit the virus. We don't have that social impact that we would want. I support SB 156. Because I believe that this bill is keeping with our country's tradition of anti-discrimination and progress. It's a step in the right direction to return to the principles of which our country was founded on. Those principles are the right to privacy, the right to liberty, the right to the pursuit of happiness, and that all are created equal. I ask that you move this bill out of committee and on to the next, so that it can be voted on in the Senate floor and continue the process to be written into law. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, and thank you for your testimony and also your activism carrying to defend liberties. I'm really impressed with your work. So thank you very much. And next we will go on to Dustin Darden of Anchorage. Please proceed.
This is Dustin.
Yes, please speak right into your mic, and you got three minutes, unless you can get it done in two. Please let us know what's on your heart, Dustin.
This is Dustin Darden. I'm a candidate for United States Senate here, running in the state of Alaska, and I am very thankful for the presentation of this Senate bill that is going to crush the tyrannical dictate of mandating biological warfare injection, which was created to cull the world's population by a global eugenic program by individuals like Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, the World Economic Forum, United Nations, the Communist Chinese, and those alike. Anyone that is in the United States Senate, Congress, United States Congress, Alaska State Senate, or Alaska State House, or any municipal branch of government, any school board that has coerced people, intimidated people, bribed people, blackmailed people to take this biological injection will be, hear my words, held accountable in this land, because we the people are the light of the world, and greater is he that lives in us than him that lives in the world. And as long as we live here, by the power of the Holy Spirit, right now, there's a conviction in your heart. You that perpetrated evil on the people for greed, for power, for platitudes, you're all being exposed by the glorious light of Jesus Christ as we speak, and you are put on notice by we the people to cease and desist all coercive methodologies of the implementation of this bioweapon injection We are not going to stand for it. It is not right. And every person that was speaking and is going to speak has amplified and spent time and prayers for this time for someone like Laura Reinbold to put a bill, a very basic rudimentary bill that just simply stops tyrannical actions on employers, on hospitals, on establishments to coerce somebody for a jab. I've got documentation of going into a Boys and Girls Club and a municipal public health advisor and nurse are on record saying they're taking money from the state of Alaska and Alaska Chamber of Commerce for giving people $50. This was 12-year-olds back in the last summer. $50 to get the jab. That's clear coercion, intimidation, and it is a violation of our basic constitutional liberty, violation of the Nuremberg Code. It's a crime against humanity, and it's a violation of Section 18, conspiracy against rights, because there's more than one of you involved, and that the maximum penalty for violating a conspiracy against rights is death. When you take the lives,
Dustin, if you can go ahead and wrap up. It's been almost 4 minutes.
Oh, I just want to say thank you. Don't get any more of these jabs. I believe if you did get the jab, Jesus can heal you, the name above all names. But you who are giving out this jab, you need to stop and you need to support this bill. If you don't support this bill, you've been put on notice for what you're doing. And you need to.
Okay. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you. Okay. Next is Sherry Strysack from Chugiak. Sherry, please proceed.
Hello. My name is Sherry Strysack. I'm from Chugiak, Alaska, and I am air traffic controller with the FAA at Merrill Field, Anchorage, Alaska. For the past 3 months now, I've been placed on AWOL because I refuse to practice in the COVID cult any longer. I will not mask, I have never tested, and I will not vaccinate. Right now, because of everything that's happening, I put in my religious exemption November 8th of 2021 for all medical interventions, whether it be COVID or anything, because it's nobody's business what I do. That's my business. However, in the meantime, I've been placed on AWOL because I would show up for work, but because I refused to wear a mask, then I would be sent home because I didn't want to take leave. I wanted to work. So since I was not allowed in the building, then they put me on AWOL. Then in December, I was suspended for 10 days because I was AWOL for more than 5 days. So I had requested to work each and every one of those days. Today, I received notice that I will be removed from federal service unless that gets denied. I have been putting in for the reasonable accommodations, my religious exemption. So far, the reasonable accommodations have been denied. They failed to show the cost analysis of basically any accommodation that they could put in place, which is ridiculous with the plexiglass and all these barriers that they would have to put up in place. And in addition to that, I also got denied further up the chain of command. Right now I'm in the EEOC process and I am looking for legal assistance because I do expect that I will be fired. I am a veteran. I have served in the Air Force for 9.5 years from 1990 to 1999. And then I have been in the FAA for 21 years since 2001. I was due to retire in July. That most likely will not come to fruition, and I will lose all my benefits. I plan to stick to this because I believe in the rights and to speak out for all citizens of the United States and Alaskans. I also want to say that my aunt, who had COVID, she recovered, and then they gave her the COVID vaccination. About a month to 3 months later, she had severe clotting in her legs. Now she lost her one leg on the left side. And these are one of the reasons why I will not get the vaccine. I believe all medical intervention should be the decision of the patients alone. And I believe that all mandates, whether for the COVID vaccine, or anything of any medical intervention, should be that of the patient alone. Senator Reinbold, I had the pleasure of meeting you at the Eagle River DMV approximately a year and a half ago when you refused to wear a mask. Thank you for being the person that I want to follow. Also, I want to thank my legislature, Hughes, and Legislature Tilton. Please continue to support us. I support SB 156.
Wow. That's a testimony I had not heard. That is powerful, and it gives me even stronger conviction that we need to do the right thing and protect individual liberties. I don't think you should have to choose between a job and taking a big pharma product. I just fundamentally think it's wrong. So I am sorry this is happening to you, and I appreciate your testimony. And I know that some of the physicians are saying that up to 50% of the people are getting the D-dimer test post-COVID-19 vax, and this is only related to the COVID-19, just because there's been an unprecedented number of problems. Normally, it would have been pulled a long time ago, but there's something bizarre about this COVID-19 vax. If you look in history, they would have never allowed it with a 20% or so efficacy and no long-term safety and safety trials. This would have never happened in the past, so there's something very unusual. That's why this bill is very focused on the COVID-19. But I hope you understand federal and state law is on your side, and that you will continue to be a woman of courage and stand up to this medical tyranny. So thank you for your testimony, and feel free to reach out to my office, and we may be able to plug you into a few more key resources. So thank you very much, Sherry, for your heart-wrenching testimony. With that, Michael Potts of Anchorage, please proceed.
Hello, my name is Michael Potts. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Loud and clear, Michael.
Okay, thanks. My name is Michael Potts. I'm from North Pole. I'm a resident of the state of Alaska. And I am here today because I do support Senator Reinbold. Thank you for your efforts to put together this bill, and I do support this bill. I've listened to a lot of the testimony here, and really I have some things to add to that. However, I've got some questions for you primarily because you're the sponsor of the bill. The first question that I have is, what are the penalties for violating any of the tenets of this bill?
That's a really good question. Right now, we don't have any criminal penalties in here, but that's a good question. And, you know, I would love to put them in there, but I'm trying to get this bill through. And some people want to make modifications that I'm not comfortable with right as it stands right now, but it's a good point. Right now, I would have to have a legal opinion to see if there's any penalties in regards to violating this, but it's an excellent question.
Okay. So a step farther based on that, the reason why I'm asking that is that you've heard all of the testimony that's been presented today. You've heard a lot of testimony in other venues in the past. You're well aware of the magnitude of this problem of this vaccine. There are definitely some privacy issues that go along with being vaccinated. And what I'm in favor of and what I would encourage you to do is we know that this vaccine has led to the death. If you're not tracking today in the vaccine tracker, in the VAERS system, there are currently the total number of events are 1,091,642 adverse events that are in the system. That's led to, of those, it's 23,342 deaths. Now, not all of those deaths are here in the United States, but they're worldwide. A man by the name of Steve Kirsch has gone through and using the CDC's underreporting factor has said if you really want to make sense of those numbers, you have to multiply that by 41. And so Steve Kirsch has been he's been very forthright that he has followed to the T the CDC's methodology for determining that underreported factor. So the point that I want to get back to is that if there are no teeth in this Senate Bill 156 for people that are ballsy enough to challenge this bill and to challenge the rights of Alaskans, this bill is almost pointless. What we need to see as far as penalties in this bill is we need to see people that are state employees that would go after, you know, somebody's right to not be vaccinated. The very first thing is they need to be removed from their employment. And there also needs to be the possibility of civil penalties and others. But we've all sat here today and we've heard the testimony of so many people that have had so many adverse reactions to this. I read you the numbers, which is essentially it's the CDC that manages that. If we ask the CDC how many people have died from COVID, they'll tell you zero. But their own database says something different. And the reason why they'll tell you zero is they refuse to even look at those numbers because the numbers are bad.
Okay, so anyway, okay. Michael, thank you. Thank you for your testimony. I lost track of time. We were timing a little different, so you're about over 4 minutes, but you have excellent, excellent points. I'm going to consider the penalties. I actually think that's a great idea. I'm not sure if my colleagues think so, but I absolutely do because life is precious to me and rights are precious. So I would put severe penalties in for violating people's rights. But anyway, if you look at the Israeli data and the DOD data, it is concerning. And if it is between 1 and 10% that's in there, I mean, it's you can 10 times that data at minimal. So we understand there's a serious problem. Normally, a product like this would get pulled from the market. Why it hasn't, I do not know. But we really need to keep through the testimony. So we're going to go to Francesco next from Anchorage.
Hello, this is Francesca Ellegreza from Anchorage. I support SB 156. There has been no informed consent going on. There's no data in the vaccine insert for anybody to review or see what's in it or if there's any contradictions with any other medications. I wanted to talk about how the Alaska Chamber incentivized vaccinations, and that was taken place through September and October. And there's a report for the COVID-19 breakthrough cases by month for Alaska residents greater than 12 years old. And in January, it was 2001, and a breakthrough case of 0.01. And then February was 2,948 cases of COVID with 1.6 breakthrough. And then it keeps going. August, there was a big uptake, but then there was a huge jump during the incentivizing of vaccines to get an experimental injection. So in September, it jumped up to 19,891, and there was 7,007 breakthrough cases. And then in October, there was 18,008 in October with 6,970 breakthrough cases. And I find that quite interesting that there was such a high jump in COVID cases and breakthrough cases during 2 months of incentivizing an experimental injection. And that should be some good data to look at right there on how the injection is not doing what it was supposed to do. We should not have, during the highest administration of a therapy, to have skyrocketed so high and to start having seen so many breakthrough cases. And again, I'm very concerned that we don't have informed consent going on for anybody. And when there is risk, there must be choice. So discriminating against people who are making a choice for their own body is it's just really sad we even have to talk about that we're fighting for our bodily autonomy to be part of society. I was fired from my doctor for not getting the vaccine to get health care and for not wearing a mask in the office to the point where I was trying to pick up my medical records. I had security take me out of the hospital because they were refusing to give me my medical records because I didn't have on a mask in the hospital. And that was a very ugly experience to be through, and I don't think discrimination in any way should be allowed in this state or any state or around the world just because of your decision on what you want to put into your body. So say no to drugs. Say no to drugs. I grew up with that, and it should stick for this as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Francesca. Definitely informed consent is something, it is federal law, and they can't provide it because they don't have the long term. So I totally understand what you're saying, but we are an opt-in state. So please know that state and federal law are on your side. People just need to stand strong. But thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Gail in Soldotna.
Yes, hello. My name is Gail Limbaugh Moore, and I support SB 156. I have a personal story to add to this. I was in the hospital in December of 2020 and again in December of 2021. The difference between the staff and from last year and then this year, or 21, they're battle weary. They're short staffed. It was a tremendous difference. And, you know, it was so apparent sitting there and watching all of this, the heat that our doctors are taking and the staff is tremendous. As I said, you can tell something was missed with me that was so apparent right there out in front of all of them, and it was missed. And when I approached my doctors and asked them the questions, I said, y'all need to get back to being doctors. And this COVID has them so distracted that somebody needs to make some laws and some rules up so that these doctors and staff, as I said, can get back to being doctors and nurses. And so that concludes my testimony. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Gail, and thank you. You stuck to right about a minute. And so if people can do it in a minute, that's great. If they could do it in two, I mean, that's really good too. But we will give up to 3 minutes. But just know there's a ton more people online. So thank you for your testimony. Sandra Tompkins.
Hi there. Good afternoon. My name is Sandra Tompkins. I live in Anchorage. I am calling on behalf of myself in support of SB 156. I'm a nurse, I'm a former military officer, and I'm also the mother of two vaccine-injured young men. I have been a vaccine researcher for the past 17 years. I know things I wish I didn't know, one of which is the term immunization in and of itself is extremely misleading. And the reason is that immunization implies immunity. Now, when someone is vaccinated, immunity is assumed, and the reason is that few, if any, people, unless they're involved in a clinical trial, receive the information that they need to know that they are, in fact, immune. And the data shows that up to 10% of people who receive vaccinations are considered primary non-responders, which means that no matter how many times they're vaccinated, they never develop immunity. So that's one thing I would just like to clarify. The reason in particular how it affects myself and my family is that we had COVID in September of 2020. I have a son who is a transplant recipient who is on immunosuppression and who we have liver tests checked on him routinely about four times a year. What we decided to do was to also analyze his COVID antibodies at the same time since he was having blood drawn. And what we have discovered is that it has been 17 months, and he still has natural immunity. And that is something that is near and dear to my heart because there are a number of adults out there who are naturally immune. The data shows that, you know, it could be even more problematic for people to vaccinate after they've had COVID. So I would like to see more recognition about natural immunity.
And I would like to close by saying that as a business owner, I will refuse to discriminate against anybody for any reason. Thank you very much for your time.
Wow, I learned a lot from you. Thank you very much. Please stay in touch with our office. We would love to learn more from you as a vax researcher, and I'm going to do a shout-out even though he doesn't want me to. My colleague, Senator Holland, next to me, did do a natural immunity amendment on the Senate floor that I was – yeah.
I'll just say real quick, I just wanted to let the public fill the time up and not talk about attempts at trying to get something.
Okay, well, I happen to have the chair right now, and I think it's super important to give credit where credit is due, and so I do thank him for doing the amendment very much. Next, we will go to Jordan, because you guys can't watch all the meetings, and so I think that's something that is overlooked is natural immunity. Next, we'll go to Jordan, H-A-R-A-R-Y.
Hi, yeah, my name is Jordan Harari. I live in Anchorage, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I am in support of Senate Bill 156. The government of this country was founded to support its citizens in governing themselves. The reason we have a bill like this even being discussed is because we've forgotten that simple fact. Government should always find a way to lessen its power and influence, never engorge or purposefully enlarge itself. These health-based mandates, whether mask or vaccine, in our society are a major step in the other direction. A state or federal government mandating a citizen take a risk and affecting their health forever in order to continue to live and interact in society or to make a living, else be shunned and or discriminated against, is unconscionable. I support this bill and believe that there should be additions to it, however, such as incorporating future epidemics, pandemics, etc., because there will be another virus someday, and a bill that only discusses COVID-19 will lead us having to go through this whole legal protection process all over again. State that vaccination status, regardless of disease, should never be discriminated against, ever. Secondly, as stated by other speakers, criminal and or financial penalties would be great. Giving legal teeth to this legislation will go further to ensure it is adhered to. And lastly, retroactive enforcement. I have friends and colleagues who are harassed, fired, belittled, discriminated against based on their vaccination status. Having legislation that retroactively goes in and finds the bad actors who have enforced bad policy, bad idea, bad, all of that stuff should be we should go after them. And that's my two cents. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan. And I agree. People need to be held accountable. And I thank you because I do believe there potentially could be more. So thank you for your testimony. Donald Thompson from Fairbanks, please proceed.
Hello?
Yes, Donald Thompson, and if you're on speaker, please take it off. We're getting a lot of background. Speak directly without a...
Hello, this is Donald Thompson from Fairbanks.
Please proceed.
And I'm calling to in support of 156, and I'm going to recite, not in its entirety, but Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson, did a recording in the Senate, in the U.S. Senate, and I'd like to repeat some of that the jab is causing multiple deaths and diseases, and many injuries from the jab. And I believe that there's enough Americans in support of this, not just in Alaska, but the whole U.S. And we need to pass this to enforce our rights to the entire country and to all of us in Alaska. That would conclude my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Don from Fairbanks. We really appreciate your testimony. Yes, Senator Holland, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I happen to have the document. from Senator Ron Johnson. And I just mentioned they're tracking military members, and this is the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database. And they're tracking increases just in military. It's a nice small group that they can track. They've given many of them the vaccine. And amongst military, there's been an increase of 2,000% of hypertension. This is increases in registered diagnosis in 2021 for the following medical conditions. Hypertension, 2,000%. Disease of the nervous system, 1,000%. Malignant neoplasms of the esophagus, almost 900%. Multiple sclerosis, almost 700%. Malignant neoplasms of the digestive organs, 625%. Breast cancer, 487%. I mean, it goes on and on. It's a captive group that they can track fairly easily, that they do track a lot. And this is not gotten out.
Well, excellent. Thank you. That is tremendous data, and I would actually like to ask that to be part of the official records for this committee. So thank you for sharing that, and thank you, everybody, for your testimony. It's really powerful, and I know it's only the tip of the iceberg, but next we'll go to Eagle River again. I'd love to hear from my Eagle River constituents. Elaine, please put yourself on the record and proceed.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Elaine, we can hear you loud and clear. Please go ahead.
Okay, hi. Yes, my name is Elaine Hedden, and I'm a physical therapist with over 20 years' experience. And beginning last year, approximately in late March, early April, I started seeing the most bizarre symptoms that I have ever seen in my 20-plus year career, symptoms of either the lymphatic system, neurologic system, or the cardiovascular system in some of my patients. Every week, there would be a patient. Not all of them, but there would be patients with some kind of just very bizarre symptoms. So, for instance, a patient, she got the Johnson & Johnson on April 1st, and within 24 hours, she knew something was wrong. When I saw her on April 13th, the patient was unable to walk due to so much pain in the pelvic area. And upon palpation, all of her inguinal lymph nodes were the size of smaller than ping pong balls, about like a shooter marble. And she went back to her doctor, and I encouraged her to report it to the VAERS system. And she attempted to do that, but it kept looping on her. She was not able to even report these symptoms. I had another patient that 3 weeks after she had the Pfizer, and 3 weeks after her second shot, she was sitting at work, and she lost central vision. She had peripheral vision, but she lost central vision. She had to fight for an MRI. She thought she had MS, and the MRI showed no lesions, no plaques in the brain, but I tried to explain to her that an MRI cannot pick up inflammation. She did slowly recover from that, but she is refusing to get any more boosters. 4 out of 5 of my patients that did get this experimental biological injection are refusing to get any more. My last patient, he said they have to put me on a firing squad before I get another shot the way I felt after that second shot. And it's interesting to note that in 2012, Pfizer was a $74 billion company in 2012. In 2019, they were a $41 billion company. They lost over 40% profit from 2012 to 2019. They were on a trajectory for going out of business. They need a new model. Guess what? In 2021, Pfizer, after all this COVID, they are now at an $84 billion company. Follow the money. This is ridiculous, and I am in total support of SB 156. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elaine, for your powerful testimony with numbers, and thank you for what you're doing to help protect individual liberties and take care of patients. I'm going to skip back to somebody accidentally skipped Antonia Hagen, H-A-G-E-N. Please proceed.
Hi, my name's Antonia Hagen, until I change my name back to my maiden name soon. I'm calling here from Wasilla. I am registered to vote in Juneau, Alaska. I spent my life growing up there, and I went back last year during 2020 in August till August 2021. And I thank you, Senator Reinbold, for standing up for the rights of the people of Alaska.
And I've watched you fighting the mask mandate, and I too had to struggle through Nazi Juno with the mask mandates. I have a medical mask exemption, and I was treated very unfairly, and at times when I wanted to enter city buildings and was requesting to go to city assembly meetings, I was told that I would be refused. Also, the state capitol was closed, the Capitol building, and I had grown a great interest in learning more about legislation and what you guys do down there in the Capitol, and was eager to go in and be present, and was quickly found out that the building was locked down and there was no participation available and no sitting in and no, you know, none of that. And so now here we've got this SB 156, which I'm really grateful to have learned about just yesterday. I am in total support of it. However, it does seem absolutely absurd that we have to have this bill put in place, as our rights are already protected federally and at the state level by our constitutions. And let's see. I've also called to see what it would be like to go back to Juneau and attempt to sit in at any sort of legislative meetings, committees, or sessions. And I am yet to follow up on whether or not I will be accepted in with my medical mask exemption. But this this segregation, whatever you want to call it, discrimination, all of this is completely absurd. And I think that there's enough people that are voicing their opinion. And I agree to adding some teeth to this bill. I would like to remind people that Nuremberg 2.0 has begun. I've listened to the opening opening statement by Reiner Fulmich. He has, you know, these are a real thing happening. And I think we need to add some teeth to this. I think any elected official to the state of Alaska or, you know, positions of authority that are working for the state of Alaska, such as the doctor, I think that there needs to be teeth in regards to the penalties that they have been perpetrating upon the people, all of this baloney in the first place. And I would also like to say, for the Canadians out there, I stand on guard for thee. And I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate the moment to talk, and I hope I was under 2 minutes. That's about all I have to say.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate your testimony. We've only got the room. It's 5 o'clock. I've got to get permission for everybody to stay. Is that okay? Are you guys okay for 30 minutes? We have the room till 5:30. What I'm going to ask you guys to do, and I apologize ahead of time, we're either going to have to continue public testimony, or if you guys can tighten it down to a minute or a little bit more than a minute. I know some of you probably provided testimony, or we're going to have to call you back on Thursday. I'm not one that cuts off public testimony. I know other people do, but I really think that people are waiting, then we should hear them. So if you guys could do tight testimonies, it would be appreciated. Ed Martin, thank you very much for calling in. I think you're from Kenai, Soldotna. Ed Martin, Kenai, Soldotna.
Yes, thank you very much, co-chair, Senator Aurora. Yes, I've listened to an hour and a half of testimony from the very beginning, and I'm very gracious. It was very gracious of you to get me on. First off, those that have sworn an oath to our U.S. Constitution and the state constitution, particularly Article and Sections 1, 3, 4, 7, 14, and most of all, 22, the right to privacy. Now, of course, we can look at the U.S. Constitution and whether or not a state can deprive us, any person, of life, liberty, or due process. And as I see it right now, if we really look at Jacobs and say, okay, the U.S. government can say the state can do this or a municipality can do this in any form or fashion, you've got to keep in mind that it was a $5 fine. And in today's money, that's $158. Now, how many jobs may be taken away because of this deprivation of rights under the color of law by somebody that put a mandate out there that in most cases isn't even legislated? So I definitely support this bill. Laura, you've been working so hard, and a lot of your staff and many that are there today on your in your committee. God bless you. Pass this out of committee. And, oh, by the way, the one guy that was worried about some kind of teeth in the bill, well, you can easily put a statement, I believe, that states this bill is in support of individual rights to take civil action upon violations. Really, it's not the government that needs to prosecute these deprivation of rights under the color of law. It's the individual. Thank you for your time. God bless.
Thank you, Ed, very much for your strong interest in debating and fighting for individual liberties. Next, we will go on to Bert. Please, Hofteling, I'm sorry, if you could say your name. I know you by Politidic. And anyway, Bert, if you could please put your name on record and say it properly, and we look forward to your testimony.
Hi, my name is Bert Hofteling. I'm from Big Lake, Alaska, and I appreciate Alaska Ledge Senate Committee here today in Affairs listening to the stories about the Fauci ouchie. It is unfortunate that we have had to have this happen just to protect our Alaskan right to choose to get whether we get the Fauci ouchie or not. There's some things that seems to be missing here, and I think that we should emphasize the point that employers should not be allowed to hire, fire, charge additional fees to any Alaskans based on their vaccine status. Just so people don't try and twist what I say above around, that means anything is something that does not imply. I am neither against or for the vaccine. I would never tell a person not to get it. What I am against is government forcing you to get the jab or no job. Businesses telling you can't enter without proof of vaccination. I am fortunate not to live in Juneau, Alaska right now, where their lockdowns and their restrictions are very similar to what you find in New York City right now, where you cannot go anywhere without a vaccine card or proof positive that you are COVID-free from a recent test. Discrimination comes in many forms. This is just the newest one being employed by the same people that brought us the KKK, Jim Crow, stood against what Martin Luther King stood for, and was on the wrong side of the Civil War, etc., just for a few examples of what I mean. I am 100% for SB 156, and I agree with other people that have given testimony today. This bill needs to have more teeth into it that has consequences for those that are infringing upon our God-given constitutional rights that are being infringed upon today. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Thank you, Bert. I appreciate it because I do believe there's going to be amendments that deal with some of the issues that, in my opinion, are very controversial. So I appreciate you, and I hope you will stay tuned with what is going on as the bill moves forward. Next, we will take a testimony from Lisa Gentleman of Eagle River. Welcome to Senate State Affairs.
Thank you. My name is Lisa Gentleman, and I'm representing myself from Eagle River. Thank you, Senator Reingold, my senator, for bringing this forward. I strongly support Senate Bill 156. Here is why I support the bill. Number one, health information needs to remain private. When I practiced as a dental hygienist for many years in Alaska, I was not allowed to share private health information even to a spouse without their permission due to the private health care rights of my patient. Two, this is not a vaccine. A real vaccine provides immunity from a disease. The jab does not provide immunity, so it is not a vaccine. We shouldn't discriminate between those who choose to be part of a science experiment and those who choose not to be. Next, the injection has caused severe health problems, heart inflammation, neurological damage, death, and many others. We should not discriminate against any Alaskan who chooses not to subject themselves to the above risk. I've heard prior vaccines were stopped after 50 deaths. What's up with this one? Alaskans have the right to rely on natural immunity. No amount of federal money, please let Crum know, is worth risking the health of our precious Alaskans, young and old.
Anyone who makes the vaccine advises people to take this injection, and anyone who gives this injection is responsible and should be held accountable for the reaction to this injection. Not state money, their personal funds should be used to care for those who have been injured, and they should use their personal finances and time to take care of the bad advice that they gave and the suffering Alaskans rather than ignoring them. In addition, being part of my husband being in the military, me being a military family, we must protect the military from further injury from this injection. There's been many adverse reactions, as has been stated, so we are less ready to protect our nation. We're more vulnerable to outside attacks due to the military personnel who have been released or who will be released potentially, including my husband, who refused this forced gene therapy. Please, this is a great start. We need many more laws to stop this injection and protect the health and lives of our precious Alaskans. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. That was a well thought out, excellent testimony. So thank you very, very much. Really appreciate it. Next, we will go to Ronald Downey of Chugiak. Ronald, please proceed.
Good afternoon. I was on mute there. Thank you, Senator Reinbold, for hosting this or chairing this meeting. I heard you mention a couple of times that something to the effect of, or words to the effect of, something is going on with your eye toward a suspicion that perhaps something bigger is afoot. And I first want to say that I'm a father. I'm a 40-year Alaska resident. I support this bill, Senate Bill 156. And one of the, I think, advantages of testifying a little bit later in the flow of people here is that much of what I had to say has already been said, so ditto and kudos. I support the bill, yet I believe it doesn't go far enough, but it is a start. And we may very well be back here in a few months, as mentioned by one of the other testifiers. I agree with the retroactivity. I think there should be sanctions. In my work as a specialized neurologist for 25 years plus, and my wife's work as a microbiologist, we've been in the trenches, so to speak, and we certainly see what many other health care professionals have seen, and the incredible strength of the human immune system, the resiliency of the human immune system. But I think it's best that this is addressed from a political position and standpoint. I believe that the what's been happening locally in our state of Alaska is nearly at the brink of rendering it no longer Alaska, or the original word Alyeska, which means the great land, through betrayals from people like Ann Zink, the medical officer. And I think this issue goes well beyond COVID vaccination. It rises to the subjugation of people, the citizenry, which, and I think the subjugation is part of a global agenda, a very broad agenda that's underway. Your bill is good, and in my opinion, I hope it passes. Get it out of committee, get it passed. Yet, it represents a modicum of the pushback that's needed to basically shut down this very large agenda. And you know, we heard from Sherry Strizek, who's an air traffic controller, who's actually assisted me in and out of Merrill Field. And there's a lot of pilot support for her. You know, there's a powder keg, and
this may very well be the match that, that strikes the fuse. And if not this, something else. But there's a powder keg, and I think it's evident in reading between the lines of issues like this. And I hope I didn't even use 2 minutes. I don't know how much I used, but that's my piece.
Ronald, thank you very much for your thoughtful testimony and just being on the front line and sharing your testimony with us today. Feel free to send an email and get the rest of it on it along with everybody else because we want to read these and hear your testimony. Next, we're going to go to KD Scarlow, and we've only got 14 minutes left. So I just want to warn people that are way down further on the list, we're either going to have to continue this or you're going to have to do it either in health and social services or by email if Chair Shower does not continue public testimony. With that, Craig Downing, please proceed from East Anchorage. Craig Downing from East Anchorage, please proceed.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, my name is Craig Downing. I'm from East Anchorage. I'm in support of SB 156. You've heard tons and tons of testimony. 2 years into this, the lies we've been told, the suppression by the media, the true numbers not coming out on the deaths, on the adverse reaction. Every one of you senators and representatives, if you don't see what's going on, it's true. It's not a conspiracy. This jab is to call the herd. You keep saying, Senator Reinbold, you don't know why. You don't know why. That's why. It's true. It's not a conspiracy. Thank you for this bill. I hope you add teeth to it, and I hope you add future diseases or colds or whatever, because there's going to be more coming down the pipe. Thank you for your time. You guys have a God bless evening.
Thank you, Craig. Susie Wade from Homer. Susie Wade, Homer, please proceed. Oh, go ahead. Dennis, is this Dennis or Susie? Please proceed.
This is Dennis Wade speaking for myself. My wife had to step away. She may be back. We support this bill fully, and a mandate is unconstitutional and immoral, and thank you for what you've done, but we definitely want this bill passed. Thank you very much, and thank you for everybody that's testified.
Okay, thank you, Dennis.
I do not hear Susie.
Okay, she can send us an email, or if the chair decides to have more testimony, hopefully she can call back. Thank you very much. Queen Parker from Sterling. Queen Parker, Sterling, please proceed. I'll come back up to you if possible. Betty McTavish from Kodiak, please proceed.
Yes, Senator Reinbold and members of the committee, I want to thank you for bringing SB 156 forward. I definitely support that. I am from Kodiak, and I am a teacher who has not been in the classroom since March 12th when our school closed. I will not participate in putting our children in masks or separating children. This is in direct violation, is a definition of torture for Amnesty International. I will not participate in doing this to our children. Alaskans are currently forced to choose between employment and education. And anyone who is forced to take an immunization or an injection is an assault to their bodies. I want to read to you the definition of assault. And this is from the Webster Dictionary. Intentionally putting another person in reasonable apprehension of an imminent, harmful, or offensive act. This is a criminal offense, and it can be prosecuted. I definitely support SB 156, and I want to thank you for bringing it forward, and let's get it out of committee so we can protect Alaskans. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Betty. It's likely going to be up to Senator Shower to get it out of committee, though, so thank you very much. For your testimony. We do appreciate it. Matthew Campbell from Soldotna, please proceed.
Hi, I'm Matthew Campbell from Soldotna, Alaska. I support Senate Bill 156. My family moved here September 21 after experiencing lockdown and COVID restrictions in a huge city. We moved here to enjoy the natural beauty, untamed wild, and unparalleled free spirit of Alaska. I am no doctor, no scientist, or researcher. If you'd like to learn more about the underlying concerns many of us have and why many of us have chosen to decline the vaccination, I will point you to the website globalcovidsummit.org, again, globalcovidsummit.org, where you can see where over 17,000 doctors and scientists within the International Alliance of Physicians and Medical Scientists signed the Physician's Declaration, which outlines a strong medical and scientifically based case with footnotes and documentation for those of us who have chosen to not vaccinate. While I'm no doctor, I am a free citizen of sound mind. Our system of government is based on two fundamental principles, the right of the individual and a limited, delegated constitutional authority of the government. Additionally, our standard of medical ethics is based on informed consent. While our opinions on the vaccine may differ, we should all agree on these core moral and ethical principles. The government does not have the right or authority delegated by the citizens, by God, or anyone else who imposes a vaccine mandate. The U.S. Supreme Court largely agrees with this. And while the unconstitutional federal executive mandate was mostly struck down, we are now left with residual mandates from schools, businesses, and employers. A common argument is that a private business should be able to do what it wants, right? To that, I would ask you, can a business or employer discriminate on the basis of race? Can a business or employer force you to adopt a certain religion? Can a business or employer force you to undergo any other medical procedure? The answer is no. Why not? Because that is not the proper sphere of business. We all operate within a God-given delegated authority structure. It is not given to the government, nor to your employer, nor to the church, nor to determine what medical procedure you must have, but rather to the individual and to the parent or guardian of minors. We all know there are documented vaccine injuries, many of them quite severe, from the COVID vaccine. If we, as a state, allow employers, businesses, and schools within our state to mandate the vaccine, then our government and these organizations must be held accountable for any vaccine injuries. Lastly, anyone who has suffered injury from a coerced vaccination, been denied medical treatment, or been fired from their job should retain a good attorney who will agree to be compensated only by the percentage of the winnings in a lawsuit. I know we're not out to get rich here, but if certain businesses and medical institutions are going to follow the money, then we must chastise them in their own language. Please pass Senate Bill 156 to protect the rights of each individual and preserve the freedom of Alaskans.
Wow. Thank you, Matthew. You made some really important points, and thank you very much for putting them on record. Next, and I hope I say this name right, Lila Lee Borland from Palmer.
Hi, yes. Thank you for holding this hearing. I'm calling in support of Senate Bill 156. I agree with everything that pretty much everybody has testified to and everything. I believe that this is a really good bill, and it does address these vaccine mandates, but it doesn't go far enough to address these mask mandates along with all these lockdowns. It doesn't hold anybody accountable. If the public health department, the state epidemiology office, can't be bothered to treat tuberculosis, why should we trust them to deal with COVID? And then when you're denied access to your loved ones when they're in a facility for 8 months, nobody's held accountable. There is no financial responsibility. And this isn't about necessarily about financial. This is the fact that as a parent, I have been denied before you had this vaccine access to a child for 8 months. Based on unscientific mandates. And there is no accountability by anybody. Nobody in government, when it comes to these unelected bureaucrats, are being held to account for the damage they are doing to our children. There is a whole generation of especially small children who have been traumatized because of these unscientific mandate, and I would encourage that to be addressed to limit the ability for people to do this type of stuff going forward, because the fact is right now, yes, we're dealing with COVID, but this does not deal with any
potential future problems that we could possibly have. And this is not America anymore in the sense of the discrimination that's on display. We have government-sanctioned hate at this point. We have government-sanctioned segregation, not based on race or anything, and I've never agreed with that. You know, there should be no discrimination, but we have government-sanctioned segregation based on vaccine status or whether or not you're wearing a mask. You have...
Can you go ahead and wrap up? I'm sorry, you've passed your time.
There's a lot of distrust in the medical community now from, you know, general people, from the public trusting the health community, your government, your schools, and everything. And this bill will go a long way to hopefully restore a lot of that. So I would encourage this to be passed out of committee and hopefully go forward. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next is Court Neff from Kodiak. We've only got four more minutes, so we probably only have time for two more people.
Okay. Yeah, hey, thanks a lot. I just want to say that here in Kodiak, we've been to the school board, quite a few of us, and they've had overwhelming testimony against face masks. And they've come up with as well, if you want to get rid of face masks, the only way to really do it is through vaccines for your kids. So I think that would be really helpful to have this bill go forward to help some of that blackmailing type stuff that's going on. That's all I got. I'll let it go. Thanks. Bye.
That's an excellent point. Actually, it has not been brought up, and our kids are suffering at unprecedented levels. So I want the next person is from Juno. You're probably going to be the final one today. You had a brilliant testimony on the listening session on Friday night, and I apologize if I don't say your name, but C-A-I-L-A-B-U-E. Please proceed from Juno.
Thank you. My name is Kayla Berger, and I support SB 156. I own a business in downtown Juneau called Alaska Probiotics. Alaska Probiotics was created to support microbial gut health, nervous system support, immune support, body detox, and all-around holistic well-being. Our focal point is utilizing plant medicines, medicinal mushrooms, and probiotics to support health, strengthen the immune system, balance the gut flora, and calm the nervous system. Since opening the business in 2017, I have established many close relationships with my customers. Many have divulged to me their battles with health conditions and oftentimes their inabilities to find a solution through the put a Band-Aid on it Western medicine model. Many of my customers cannot wear masks, cannot take vaccines. Disclosing medical ailments and challenges is brave and oftentimes difficult. When my customers tell me their stories, I know they are doing so because they need alternative support systems and the power of clean diet, probiotics, and herbs. They are oftentimes at a loss with the Western medicine and have begun the journey of exploring health and wellness field, which cannot be found amongst the deep fryers and soda streams at Bartlett Regional Hospital. I speak for the many Alaska Probiotic customers who fight for their health. Alaska Probiotics will not comply with the mandates and become a facility who polices the very people we are here to help. Alaska Probiotics does not condone discrimination, and we will never turn anyone away from our health business. We will not become an entity who harasses our people from private medical information. We will remain a business rooted and grounded in health, wellness, and medical freedom for all people. Please support this bill. Thank you very much. And I just wanted to quickly note, too, for anybody who has had a situation in a hospital where they have felt like they have gotten treatment that compromises their health, I would recommend to go into HR, whatever hospital you have that treatment at, and request the charts, request the nurse notes, and eventually these behaviors will be held accountable, but there's so many shady things going on in the hospital right now. I previously worked at the regional hospital, and I would just recommend everybody to have a hard copy of your medical records. Thank you very much for hearing my testimony tonight.
Thank you very, very much for your testimony and being open-minded and open for business and refusing to discriminate. We really appreciate that based on the COVID vaccine status and harassing people because it's an issue. It's an issue in Hawaii. It was an issue in New York. It's an issue in Washington State. I don't want it to be an issue here. And that's exactly why this bill has been brought forth. With that, we have to end the committee right now. It's 5:30. People have gone 30 minutes extra. I want to thank Records. I want to thank the LIO staff. I want to thank the committee chair and thank the committee members very, very much. And mostly you guys, for all these people online, I apologize. We tried really hard to be able to get to you. I would ask you to please send your comments either to myself, to Senator Schauer, to Senate State Affairs, and is that SEN.state? It's one word. Senate State Affairs at akleg.gov. Next committee will be Health and Social Services. Senator David Wilson will be hearing this bill. I also sit on that committee. I believe he'll be hearing the bill. I hope he does. But that will be the next committee of referral. So if Senator Schauer, the chair of this committee, does not choose to have additional public testimony, you have an opportunity in Health and Social Services. And with that, we did not get to amendments, of course, today, because public testimony was so broad. So we're going to go ahead and gavel out at this time. And I hope we do some tough things in regards to this bill, actually hold people accountable, which I think people do need to be held accountable. And I do think I hope to put some teeth in regards to this for penalties for people who do not comply, encourage that there will be penalties for people not respecting individual liberties. Anyway, with that, we're going to go ahead and gavel out today at 5:31 p.m. And thank you for everyone's patience today. And appreciate everybody's testimony.